if I find somebody else and I don't need you? Damn. What if I was made for you?
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and residents in Florida racing to prepare or get out with Hurricane Milton set to hit Florida's west coast Wednesday night. ABC News Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z is in Tampa, where they could see record surge.
10 to 15 feet of surge would more than double the record that we had just 2 weeks ago. It would be like stacking two or three of me up of ocean water and pushing it right on land really fast.
President Biden says he's assured government leaders in the region federal relief and resources are available on the ground and to help rebuild. Florida and the southeast still recovering from Hurricane Helene. Israeli defense minister says that the forces have likely killed the man who replaced Hezbollah's longtime leader. He was assassinated recently. Israel sending more troops into southern Lebanon, working to push Iran-backed militants further north. Hezbollah, though, still firing off more than 200 rockets into northern Israel. And severe heat in the west leading to record highs in normally cooler cities like San Francisco and Denver this week. This is ABC News. A medical helicopter has crashed in Kentucky, killing all three people on board. The victims were flying to pick up a patient when they crashed about 75 miles northeast of Louisville. Investors are watching earnings from a manufacturer of snacks and soft drinks.
PepsiCo, maker of Quaker Oats, Doritos, Gatorade, 7-Up, and of course Pepsi, says American consumers have been cutting back on drinks and snacks over the past few months, leading to flat revenue for the company in the third quarter. After years of price increases, it seems that people just didn't have a taste for premium brand chips, soda, and soft drinks recently. To combat that, PepsiCo says it'll be lowering the price of some of its products in the coming months.
ABC Sherry Preston. Panera has settled a wrongful death lawsuit over its charged lemonade. Sarah Katz suffered a heart attack after consuming the drink. The lawsuit claimed the drink had nearly four times the caffeine of a Red Bull and that Katz had a heart condition. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Sounds like you heard about our Mobile One giveaway. Right now, you can get a free Red Bull racing sign when you buy 5 quarts of Mobile One motor oil. And you can enter to win a signed undershirt from F1 champion Max Verstappen. Find Mobile One at any one of our 6,300 stores or on AutoZone.com. Ends November 18th. No purchase necessary for giveaway.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
See AutoZone.com for details.
Again, Scent Bead story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard... His ear said, Maracas, senor, but his nose said, hey, freshest scent ever. Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain Scent Beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, sir, your scent Maracas smell amazing. Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain Scent Beads. Try Gain Scent Beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. All eyes will be on the Wausau City Council meeting tonight, where alders will discuss a plan for extra security around the city's municipal drop box.
The box was installed outside City Hall last week after Mayor Doug Denny wheeled it into his office in late September, noting it wasn't secured to the sidewalk and anyone could have walked off with it. Clerk Caitlin Bernardi noted she intended to have the box secured and opened to accept documents, payments, and ballots during election season. Fast forward to last week, and the box is bolted down and open for use. Tonight, alders will consider spending $3,000 for extra security, including a floodlight and a new camera on the front door of City Hall, which is at the end of its life and was due for replacement anyway. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A Sun Prairie couple is charged with starving their infant to death.
26-year-old Devarius Keys and 21-year-old Terrence Strait face child neglect charges in the February death of their 23-day-old son. Prosecutors say the pair were mostly feeding the boy almond milk against doctor's orders and also failing to feed him every 2 hours. The Dane County DA's office tells the State Journal it took this long to file charges because it didn't get the case until August and an autopsy report wasn't available until the end of September. Strait is being held on a $5,000 bond. A warrant is out for Keyes' arrest. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The chair of the Federal Trade Commission stops in Madison to discuss the economy. Lena Khan says the FTC is keeping an eye on what it calls surveillance pricing.
When companies may be able to charge each person a different price based on what they know about you. So imagine a family that has a kid with a peanut allergy being charged more for the granola bars without nuts.
Khan was joined by Democratic U.S. Representative Mark Buchanan, a Dane County business owner, during the stop. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Believers City Church in Menominee holds community Bible discussions in towns throughout our region. Join us in Durand at the Cell Block Bar and Grill for a weekly Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. No matter what church you attend, you're welcome to participate in this local Bible study. Our goal is to increase your knowledge, your discipleship, and your Christian fellowship. So drop in, enjoy some food and fellowship, and let's dig into God's Word together.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Bright and beautiful today with high temperatures scraping 70 degrees. Skies stay clear tonight. We crash chilly to the upper 30s. And for tomorrow, another day with a ton of sun and warmer temperatures. In fact, we climb to the mid-70s tomorrow and hit 80 on Thursday. Higher work health insurance costs again? Call 1-800-693-9308 to find lower rates. Currently, it's 58.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand, Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Milton, as farmers in the path of Hurricane Helene are really just now getting a handle on the job they have in front of them to get their farms operational again. And let's talk about what the industry learned from just a three-day dock workers' strike.
Live from the return of our benevolent audio emperor via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Andy Lyon from Trust in Food. Then it's Mike Steenhook from the Soy Transportation Coalition. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, back at it. Back at it. Beautiful day here in Northeast Iowa, by the way.
Is it? Really?
Yes. What do you got going down there?
We are under lovely skies, checking my phone, 61 degrees and sunny, headed for a high of a balmy 76 degrees today.
Yeah.
Looks like a good one.
56 here, heading for a 56. High.
56.
Yeah, heading for a high of 75. So there may have been a little bit of frost out there this morning. But boy, we're getting wild swings in temperatures from the overnight lows or early morning lows to the afternoon highs. The swings are just wild right now, and it's kind of an enjoyable time of the year for us. But when we look at some of the weather issues that are happening in the southeast with Hurricane Milton bearing down on Florida, the cleanup from Hurricane Helene. We're going to talk about that cleanup, by the way, with Andy Lyon, Director of Technical Assistance at Trust in Food here at Farm Journal. Andy's in the area and had an opportunity to get out and visit with some farmers yesterday. Wow. He's back out there today. We're going to find out what Andy is learning from some farmers in Southeast Georgia is where Andy's at. So
we got boots on the ground in Southeast Georgia this morning. That's awesome.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And then you know what? We can't let an experience like the dock worker strike, even a 3-day strike, get away from us without trying to take some measure of what we learned, okay, from that strike. So we're going to get Mike Steenhook in here from the Soy Transportation Coalition, talk about that. And there is a study out about port efficiency and where the globe's most efficient ports are. Yeah. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that with Mike at the bottom of the hour as well, because, boy, there is some really telling data in this study that was featured in Pro Farmer this morning. So, really good
stuff. That conversation could get a little prickly. A little sticky situation there. I mean, it feels like to me, you know, a big part of the strike was with the automation and with
Then they resolved it with that little, what was it, improved efficiencies type of a line in there?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. We'll see exactly what that might mean. See if Mike's got some perspective on that. Yeah. All right, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, Chip, let's talk Hurricane Milton. It's intensified into a powerful Category 5 storm. I got a decent amount of stuff on this. It's expected to make landfall along the west coast of Florida late tomorrow evening. Milton will bring life-threatening impacts to much of Florida, including destructive storm surge, devastating hurricane-force winds, and considerable flash and urban flooding. Meanwhile, elsewhere, unseasonably hot temperatures expand over much of the western and central U.S., some record-tying or breaking highs possible. Chip, you might recall when you left, the 6 to 10 day and the 8 to 14 day forecasts had sort of stalled out, range-bound.
Yes.
Really not a whole lot of change there. So whatever that was before is pretty much still the case. Now let's turn our attention.
Warm and dry.
Yes, let's turn our attention to Florida. Milton is threatening to be one of the largest ever hurricanes, Chip. Wind gusts already topping 200 miles per hour, leading to calls for a new Category 6 designation. You know how I feel about weather events when they have to make a new name for them. It's kind of a big deal. Milton threatened, strengthened into a Category 5. Governor DeSantis declares an emergency. Millions of residents are ordered to evacuate. Now, Tampa's mayor issued a spooky warning before Hurricane Milton, saying, quote, "If you choose to stay in Tampa, you are going to die."
Yeah.
I saw some videos on the people streaming out of that part of the state. Wow. Let's remember those folks and the Helene folks in our prayers, man. This is a double whammy.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is. One of the things that they do is they take a look at the barometric pressure inside of those hurricanes and try to determine just how strong it is by how low that barometric pressure falls, okay? And this is looking to be a potential record setter, no doubt.
Yikes. We do have a USDA daily export sale, 166,000 metric tons of soybeans to China for the 24-25 marketing year.
Cool.
Chip, North Dakota's Public Service Commission is closer to deciding on Summit Carbon Solutions' proposed carbon capture pipeline, which would link 57 ethanol plants across five states to a storage site in North Dakota.
Yeah, big deal. This is a very big deal. The farmers across the country, across the Midwest, want to know exactly how this is going to be handled. Yeah. And if lowering the carbon intensity score of the ethanol that is produced in the Midwest is going to happen on the production side, corn production side, we need to know that. Or is it going to be handled by capturing the CO2 that is produced at these ethanol plants and shipping it off to North Dakota to store underground? Either way, we need to know. So, let's get the decisions made.
Well, Chip, in other news, McDonald's has filed a lawsuit against major meat packing companies, including JBS, Tyson Foods, Cargill, and National Beef Packing, accusing them of conspiring to limit beef supplies and inflate prices since 2015. The fast food chain alleges that these companies reduced their output to drive up industry prices. That's a violation of U.S. antitrust laws.
Yeah, this is one that we obviously have to keep track of and try to figure out exactly what is going on with this, because I think most that listen to AgriTalk have an understanding that a lot of this was driven by drought and a reduced cow herd and reduced numbers out there. So we'll just have to dig into this a little bit more, in the days ahead.
I wonder if that $20 an hour wage at some McDonald's locations has anything to do with it as well. Well, Chip, Russia launched missile strikes on a cargo ship in the Ukrainian port of Odessa, intensifying fears about the safety of Ukraine's key maritime export route for agricultural goods. This follows a similar attack on another ship the previous day and a drone assault on Odessa's region. Kyiv officials reported that Russia has targeted 21 vessels since abandoning a UN-brokered grain deal.
There was a day that would have sent wheat sharply higher. Today, wheat's doing nothing.
Yeah. Oil prices surged on Monday with Brent crude rising 3.7%, reaching a five-week high of $80.44 per barrel as tensions escalated in the Middle East. The rise, driven by renewed violence between Hamas and Israel and the risk of disruptions to energy infrastructure, follows an 8% weekly gain spurred by Iran's missile attack. There were missiles in the air last night, Chip, and yet here the WTI crude oil is down, call it 350 in the Nov, down 340 in the Dece.
Right, right. This is the volatility that is happening in these energy markets is really difficult to it's making it difficult to predict how the market is going to react to different news.
It
really is. We'll have to get an energy analyst in here and try to help us figure out exactly what's going on there. Andy Lyon, Director of Technical Assistance, Trust and Food, is up next here on AgriTalk.
At United Animal Health, we all share a love for animals. We have devoted our lives to agriculture and to the well-being and productivity of animals. With our guiding principle to always have the best answer, we listen to the animal and let the animal tell us what works and what doesn't. We know that if the animal is healthy and productive, so is the producer, the consumer, and our communities. Learn more at unitedanh.com.
In tough times, invest in what pays, like the InZone bin system from Farm Shop MFG.
The moisture increase has been a huge benefit for us. We are hauling out more bushels than we hauled in. Who doesn't want to add more money back into your crop?
Call 712-520-6061.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's harvest time across the region, and that means long hours for you and the machines you depend on. It also means a heavier load of dust, dirt, and contaminants for those machines. That's why you should protect them with Donaldson filters. Donaldson offers a full line of air, fuel, lube, and hydraulic filters engineered to deliver superior performance and protection for your equipment. No wonder so many OEMs worldwide specify Donaldson filters. After all, Donaldson literally invented the tractor air filter. Ask for Donaldson filters at your local parts supplier today.
If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. Davis is here as well.
Yes, sir.
And joining us is Andrew Lyon. Andy is the Director of Technical Assistance at Trust and Food here at Farm Journal. He joins us right now. Andy, thank you so much for making time for us this morning. How are you?
Doing great, Chip. Thank you.
Good, good, good. Tell me what you do for Trust and Food.
Yes, sir. So I am working on the Trust and Food Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities Project. It's called the Connected Ag Climate Smart Commodities Pilot Project. This is a program that came out a little over a year and a half ago from USDA. The point of this program is really to get conservation practices on the ground, but then help connect those producers who are implementing those conservation practices to markets that will value those commodities that they grow with some added value based on the conservation practices that they're using, some of the environmental benefits that those practices gain.
Yeah, and you're you are working with farmers across the country on this, right, Andy?
Yes, that's right. We're working with 500 producers across 19 states. Those states stretch down from the southeast, really up through the middle of the country.
Gotcha. And the southeast, Georgia is included on that. And I understand that you're in southeast Georgia again today. Is that right?
I was down there at the end of last week. We are working with a number of producers in southeast Georgia, specifically in Coffee, Bacon, and Appling counties. And again, we were down in that area just a few weeks ago. We were actually down planting some cover crops in some blueberry fields here just a few weeks ago. And then unfortunately, Hurricane Helene came through and really walloped those folks in really all through Georgia and the panhandle of Florida.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you said blueberries in Georgia. Agriculture in Georgia is so diverse. There's corn, soybeans, cotton, peanuts, poultry, timber. And I know that it's difficult to make an assessment on how much damage there has been done. But you talked with some farmers there. Who did you talk with, and what is their take on the damage that's been done down there, Andy?
Yeah, some really great producers there in southeast Georgia that, you know, have longstanding family operations there. And, you know, they, like you said, grow a number of different commodities: poultry, cotton, timber, blueberries, peanuts, pecans. And there's also a strong fresh vegetable market. All of those crops are greatly impacted by Hurricane Helene. You know, you specifically mentioned on that timber industry. You know, the timber industry is simply huge in that area, and really all of that timber is impacted in some way. And, you know, when you talk about all of those commodities that we just mentioned, you know, a number of those are perennial crops, right? Those are not crops that, you know, get impacted this year, but, you know, you get to start from scratch again next year. Those are, you know, cotton and peanuts, you know, with your annuals in there. But really, when you're talking pecans, blueberries, timber, you know, those perennials, it's going to take years for those crops to you know, get back to where they were producing previously.
Yeah. You know, and we don't – I don't know how well it is known how important that timber industry is in the southeast and through the south. But when we look at the cost of housing already in this country and the cost of inputs for those to build those houses, good grief. We're just looking at taking supply out of the industry at a time that we really don't need to be doing that. And it's it is going to be a tough road to hoe on some of the lumber prices and so on as we look forward. Okay. And I know that poultry production is so important in the southeast. What are you seeing there? Describe some of the damage and conditions that you've seen for the poultry guys.
Yeah, and it's, you know, still early in the game for you know, some of those official estimates to come in on exactly what was been impacted. But the producers that we were with last Thursday and Friday were telling us that the word, especially around Coffee County, Georgia, was that 300 of the 500 poultry houses in the county were on the ground, that they were completely destroyed, and that the remaining 200 had received severe damage. And of course, you know, the primary problem in the area right now is the lack of power. With the huge timber industry, there it simply took out you know, the majority of the power lines in the area. So many spots don't have power currently. You know, the big problem for those 200 chicken houses that are still standing is that the Pilgrims plant in Douglas, Georgia, does not currently have power. And so, you know, they're not able to process chickens there. So, you know, it's really a race against the clock at the moment, trying to get power restored in the area so that, you know, some of this supply chain can come back online. You know, what's going on farm right now, and many of those remaining chicken houses are, you know, up and running on generators at the moment. But again, if the plant's not able to come back online here within just the next week or two, there simply won't be anywhere to process those chickens, and they'll be facing an even worse situation.
Andy, have the power companies given any indication on how long it might take to get power restored?
Yeah, it's really hit or miss. You know, as you can imagine, you know, there's areas in town that already have power restored.
Okay.
While a farm that we were on just west of Baxley, Georgia, the power company was telling them that it'll be 4 weeks before they'll have power restored there at the farm. And so, you know, it really is hit or miss. You know, I'll be completely honest. You know, I'm here from Kansas. When we went down through that area last week, you know, you'll see spots that are hit a lot harder than others. And it really reminded me of tornado damage. And I, again, not from the National Weather Service, but the producers were telling us that there were over 30 reported tornadoes just there in Coffee County alone. I think there were probably a lot of spin-up tornadoes out of the situation. And those tornadoes then really made an even bigger impact on those power lines. And so, again, it's real hit or miss type of situation with the getting power restored. But it's going to be weeks for some producers.
Okay, we've heard a lot of different stories out of North Carolina in particular regarding just how much or how little assistance has been made available to the victims of this storm. Did you get a chance to talk about the assistance that is coming into the area? What is that situation like?
Yeah, I think the good news in Southeast Georgia right now is that, you know, most of the folks' basic needs are being met. There is, you know, food and water, medicine being brought into the area. One of the producers that's participating in our grant is actually using his blueberry packing facility as a warehouse where FEMA and others are able to stage some of those relief supplies. And then many local churches are actually then taking those supplies and delivering them to the folks in need. Again, most of the basic needs are being met there, which is fantastic. That is job number one. But, you know, as we move out of kind of the immediate disaster response and really start looking at, you know, the way that agriculture will have to build back in the area, I think there needs to be a lot of discussion about the type of assistance programs that are available to producers to help them recover. Again, all of these commodities have been impacted. It is going to be in the billions of dollars, the agricultural production that's been damaged. Again, you know, these producers, even in just the days after the hurricane, were already talking with us about, you know, how they want to build back their operations. But they need some help. And so, again, what they shared with us was simply that we needed to get this message out, that they have been severely impacted, and that, you know, America needs to know, you know, all the great work that they do down there, all the great agricultural production that they have, but they do need some help to get back up and going again.
Yeah. All right. At 30 seconds on this, what's the number one thing that they need right now, Andy?
Yeah. Again, what they shared with us was our basic needs are being met. You know, people are helping their neighbors. The biggest thing is to tell this story. Certainly, you know, what's gone on in North Carolina is tragic. But don't forget about the agricultural production that's been impacted throughout the Southeast.
Well, we're certainly not going to do that. We certainly will keep them in our thoughts and prayers. And you know, sometimes we'll just have to go to the black and white and put some analysis on what it means for markets and industries as we go forward. Andy, thank you so much for the report, man. It's good to get some feet on the ground down there. Thank you.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Mike Steenhook is next.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand Power Core Enlist corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, Power Core Enlist wins in the field with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics, plus three distinct modes of action for long-lasting protection against above-ground pests and unsurpassed flexibility.
Whoa, this one says superior yield potential.
Don't touch, Billy.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk down 7 to 2093, December down 8 to 2036, January down 3 to 1997, February down 1 at 1959. Live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly higher. The trade is confident in the fundamental support to move prices higher as choice cuts did move higher today, and that helped to support live cattle markets along with the feeder cattle markets. Hog markets, meanwhile, are also moving mostly higher, even though the lean hog index was mostly lower today. But the trade is still believing that there'll be some fundamental support here, at least late in the week. October live cattle up $1.05 to $188.52. October feeder cattle up $1.12 to $249.97. October hogs up 32 cents to $84.30. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly lower. Soybeans leading the complex lower on harvest pressure. Positive weather in South America with much needed rain that should help with their soybean planting. That is also really pressuring the bean markets, and that's also spread into corn and wheat markets moving mostly lower. A lot of harvest pressure as well, and some news that there could be improving weather in the Black Sea winter wheat growing areas. December corn down 6 to 420. November beans down 20 to 1014. December wheat back to steady at 592 and a half.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I don't know what you're thinking!
So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday morning. Last week, boy, at this time we were trying to figure out exactly what the dock worker strike might mean for us and everything. Well, they settled it fairly quickly. But what did we learn from a three-day strike? Let's bring in Mike Steenhook, Soy Transportation Coalition, joins us right now. Mike, how are you?
Hey, it's good to be with you, Chip. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. You know, I feel like we dodged a bullet on this strike, but even at 3 days, there's got to be some catch-up work to do. What's the status over there on the East Coast and in the Gulf?
Well, they're slowly getting back up to operating, and you know, we're seeing ships being loaded and unloaded. But, you know, reopening a port is not like reopening a small business restaurant where you just flip the sign from closed to open on the door, hanging on the door. So it does take time, but you know, things are, you know, getting back to normal, which is obviously most welcome.
Yep. Well, and then the storms, Helene and Milton bearing down, that's got to be getting in the way of getting these things restarted too, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly, because, you know, obviously, you know, when you've got that kind of response that's needed, which is massive and will be massive with Milton, you need to have an all hands on deck kind of approach to it, which means you want to have all your supply chain operating at full throttle. You don't want 8 of your 10 roads open. You know, you want to have as many or a portion of your ports operating. You want to have as much of it open as possible to be able to route, you know, materials, not only for the economy, but for things like disaster response.
Right. Okay. The strike, it only lasted 3 days. But even at 3 days, what did it expose about the industry out there, Mike?
Well, it exposed that, you know, you can have, you know, without taking sides between the dock workers and the port operators,
sure,
you can have a significant percentage of our economy be disrupted due to a contract dispute, which, you know, that obviously, that's when it really gets frustrating for folks in agriculture and other industries. So that there is some real vulnerabilities there. And we're continuing to see, you know, challenges with our supply chain. I use the analogy of a relay race where the baton is getting dropped between runner number one and runner number two. And the reason why that baton gets dropped, it could be something weather related, like a hurricane or a drought. It could be something like tension between management and labor. And we continue to see a lot of evidence of that as well. It could be geopolitical. There's a lot of reasons why the baton continues to get dropped. And, you know, if we're wanting to have a dynamic economy, a competitive agricultural sector, you've got to have a supply chain that can accommodate what farmers grow to be able to meet it up with demand, both domestic and international.
You know, that description is kind of concerning to me, Mike, because there's one thing that the teams that drop the baton have in common. They lose.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what we're – are we exposing the inefficiencies of U.S. shipping?
Yeah, you know, we kind of grew accustomed to the fact that, you know, there was a confidence for a number of years. It may not be perfect, but that when runner number two extended his or her hand back, that the baton would get placed. And now we don't have that confidence anymore. And if you're an industry like agriculture, which we've known well before so many other industries, that we have the ability to produce in excess of domestic demand. So farmers have long known that, you know, international exports is a real important part of profitability. But you got to have, you can't just have supply and you can't just have demand. You have to have that element that connects supply with demand. And that's what our transportation supply chain does.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The Container Port Performance Index for 2023, I was reading about it in Pro Farmer yesterday afternoon, I guess it was. And this really surprised, well, yeah, no, it did surprise me when I saw that the U.S. does not have a port in the top 50 of the most efficient ports in the world. The highest ranked U.S. port down at Charleston, South Carolina. And that's at number 53 globally on efficiency. Are we locked into inefficiency, Mike? And what does that do to us?
Well, and that's one of the real concerns, and why, you know, there still is this storm cloud on the horizon with the East Coast and ports and the Gulf Coast ports, is that while the wage dispute was solved, the big, arguably the most long lasting and intractable dispute is over automation. where the International Longshoremen's Association, they've stated very explicitly an unwillingness to allow any additional automation and maybe even trying to curtail what currently is being utilized. And, you know, I get that, you know, technology, including the rise of AI, it's really disruptive. And there's a lot of stress in the American and global workforce right now about to what extent will their job be rendered irrelevant. So I totally get it, but you know, this is something that's been with us, this whole discussion topic for decades. And obviously agriculture, you see, you know, very, you know, prolific example of that within agriculture with the ability of what one single farmer can do compared to what he or she was able to do 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So I don't know what to do with that. And so that's still an issue that needs to be resolved, you know, by January 15th. And, you know, when you have a wage dispute, you can see maybe a path forward for compromise. One side says, we'll give you this. The other side says this. And then maybe, well, maybe they can meet in the middle and and somewhere in between. But when one side says no more automation and the other side says we need some degree of automation if we want to be competitive, because the country of Mexico would be delighted to have more investment in port capacity on their West Coast and then being able to rail it into the United States, because they'll embrace that technology and that automation. So it's something that does concern me moving forward, is that this issue still seems to be very, the two sides are quite dug in. And so as a result, we could be in a similar situation come January 15th.
Yeah. I've been doing a little, trying to do some studying of history to try to figure out it. And the West Coast port started talking about this in the 60s. Right, Mike?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that they were very adamantly opposed to is this, the rise of containers, the utilization of containers, these 20 and 40 foot steel boxes that you can, they're called intermodal containers because you can put them on an ocean vessel, onto a train, and also onto a truck chassis. And because it made things so much more standardized and so much more uniform, loading a ship was less of a complex kind of Tetris kind of exercise. It became much more of like a Lego exercise where you're just kind of building Legos, which dramatically increased global productivity, including in the United States. And so that's something they have been pushing against for many, many years. And again, I understand technology is disruptive and it's stress inducing, but still I can't think of a single industry that hasn't had to wrestle with that in their own way, and actually just drawing a line in the sand and saying no more technology, no more automation. I just don't see that as being realistic.
Exactly. Okay. The Yangshan port in China ranks number one globally. The only reason I want to bring that up is because China apparently is making investment in ports around the world with a focus on Latin America. You mentioned Latin America. China's making investments here in the Western Hemisphere. What concerns arise from that?
Well, certainly it could make our ports more ineffective and less efficient. That cost will get passed on somehow, and usually to the American consumer. But also, when you see things like a port being built with, you know, Chinese funding underwriting it in Peru, well, the reason for that is so you can bring commodities from Brazil, and the Andes Mountains are no longer this barrier. You can actually rail it to the west coast of South America, and that's all of a sudden going to increase the competitiveness of Brazil to fulfill Asian demand. And so that's obviously, so a lot of those things are a concern for us. And once you build that infrastructure, it's not to produce a benefit tomorrow. It's to provide benefit for years and years to come. Right. And so you never want to be in the business of encouraging, you know, other countries to make these kind of investments, which will make us less competitive.
Right. Okay. We've only got about a minute left, but I got to ask you, how is the conditions on the Mississippi south of St. Louis?
Well, we saw, with Hurricane Helene, it did provide an influx of water that worked its way into streams and rivers that did elevate water levels. But the thing is that the expectation is we will see that you know, drop pretty quickly. So it's just once that water has passed. So, you know, the problem, we're still in a very, you know, dry conditions, and it will have impact on barge transportation at a very inopportune time.
Yeah, we're not doing much to feed into it in the upper Mississippi, that is for sure. Did a little bit of driving here over the weekend, and river levels feeding to the Mississippi are unbelievably low. And it's going to create some issues. I don't think there's any question about that. Mike, it's always good to talk to you. One other thing that I wanted to talk about was, you know, just using my eyeballs, my eyes are telling me that there's been a major investment in bridges around the country, and we'll get together and talk about some good news coming up here pretty soon. Okay, bud?
Look forward to that.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Mike Steenhoek, Soy Transportation Coalition. Davis and I will be right back.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit wisconsinsoybean.org.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Micro essentials with the good stuff required to feed your fields and improve your yields. Like uniform nutrient distribution, season-long sulfur availability, increased nutrient uptake, and ease of use. Because who doesn't want greater ROI and increased yields? The Mighty Micro from Mosaic Micro Essentials. We put more in, so you can get more out. Visit microessentials.com to learn more about getting more.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about adults, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know? And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson here, along with our pal, our beloved, benevolent host, Chip Flory, has returned. How's it going?
Yes. Glad to be here. Glad
Did you get
to
a chance
here.
To... relax or
absolutely
yeah okay
yep
this wasn't at all related to your frequent applications to the Astronaut Academy, was it? Is this another one of those?
No, Davis. It wasn't.
all right. Hey, this is kind of that time of year. We don't have to spend a ton of time on this at all, but you kind of had a road trip there a little bit.
Yeah.
You mentioned your observations about some river stuff. What other observations came through your windshield?
Bean crop is coming out in a hurry. Bean crop, crop is coming out in a hurry. There's no question about it. And I don't like to be the judge of some of those bean fields. You know, when you're trying to figure out what the yields are, but when they're opened up right next to the road and you can look into those fields and see a high population of heavily loaded stems out there, you just wonder what those yields are. And the thing is, you know, it, what you're really looking at is what the potential was, because they are heavily loaded with pods and, oh my goodness gracious, heavy populations out there in some of those fields, and they're still loaded up. But what you don't know is the size of the bean when you're driving down the road. Some of those fields finished before the impact of these dry conditions really set in. Some didn't, obviously. And so that's pulling down what was potentially a really, really good bean yield out there. Saw some black marks out there in fields. Okay. Guys have done a nice job of containing what I saw anyway. But boy, I made mention of it last week about when you go to a field to combine, one of the pieces of equipment that should probably come with you is a disc hooked to a tractor and ready to go at all times. I had several people hit me up with a, hey, thanks for the reminder on that. Yeah. It doesn't hurt at all to go prepared. It doesn't hurt at all to have a fire extinguisher checked out and ready to go and oversized, okay?
Yeah.
In the cab of the combine, in the cab of the cart tractor, in the cab of anything out there that you are going to be taking to the field, because it's dry, man. The dust, the dust coming from, I've been from southern Wisconsin down to southern Missouri in less than a week. And every time I go by a field that is being harvested, the dust is flying. It's just it's a dirty harvest season. There's no question about it.
While you were traveling, and this is one of the questions I like to ask people when they're traveling,
Over the weekend, was there a particular meal that stood out to you? Anything that was like extra special, yummy, or delicious? Anything at all come to mind?
A food report?
Just quickly.
I do like fish tacos.
Okay.
Yeah. I did take in some fish tacos. It's just one of my favorite things in the culinary world. Yeah.
You should find your favorite things when you've got some time off. Absolutely.
Exactly. But a well-prepared steak and eggs for breakfast is also really difficult to beat.
Good morning.
Yeah, man.
All right. Yeah. Now let's talk about this conversation with Steen Hoek. Dude, I want America to be competitive in every area that it can be. Mm-hmm. That also includes keeping people employed. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want people to be employed, but I also want us.
Employment
want us
is
to
the
move
engine.
Up that efficiency list. I want to move up that. Maybe just a couple of notches would be great.
Right.
It takes technology to do that, and it feels like heels are dug in against that here.
Yeah, it really does. And you know, when we talk about AI, artificial intelligence in particular, the most encouraging thing that I hear from those that can influence the future is we need to figure out how to work with it, not against it. And we need to figure out how to work with it, not for it. Okay. That's what the shipping industry has got to figure out. That's what they got to figure out on these ports is how are they going to use automation to make their efforts more efficient.
Yeah.
Because what we are doing right now is we're locking into a world of inefficiency. At least that's what the negotiators are trying to do.
Yeah.
On the labor side. I feel for those guys. But like Mike said, there is not an industry in America that has not been influenced by this in one way or another. And to say that automation, even semi-automation, is a deal killer is worrisome, to say the least. And that's what they're saying, Davis. I don't know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, here's my thought. What do they wind up getting? A 62% pay increase over the coming 6 years, I think, is what the numbers are. That gets expensive, and one of the things that increased AI based efficiency brings is decreased costs,
more volume.
You've got to be careful. You're going to price yourself right out of a job. They'll bring a robot in who will work 24 hours for free. Once they get him paid for, it's all profit. You got to watch that. That's my concern here, man, because I want people to have jobs.
What if we've done it at some of the kiosks or some of the fast food restaurants? We've got kiosks now instead of people taking orders.
Yep.
Well,
take it to your self-checkout lines at your grocery stores and your Walmarts. I mean, all this sort
exactly.
of stuff. This is what we're talking about.
We've seen it happen at automakers. We've seen it make at equipment manufacturers.
Yep.
These kinds of things have an impact, no doubt about it. Hey, thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Rick Brock from the Brock Report here on AgriTalk. Jeff Ellis is a technical services manager at AMVAC. Jeff, talk to me about rootworm control.
Yeah, rootworm control is very important. Most people think that rootworms cause over $1 billion in losses for growers. And so Index is a top-performing liquid at plant insecticide that growers can use to really help maximize their yield potential of their crop, regardless of which trait package they're using, whether using a trait or not, or which individual trait did they choose to use. And so Index contains two modes of action. They're very complementary to each other, so they both do a really good job on corn rootworm control, but then also control other seedling and seed pests such as corn cutworms, grubs, seed corn maggots, and wireworms.
Excellent. Thank you, Jeff. That is Jeff Ellis, Technical Services Manager at AMVAC. To learn more, head to www.amvac.com.
On job sites, few things are more important than a solid work boot. At Boot Barn Work, we pride ourselves on knowing that no matter your trade, when there's hard work to be done, your boot should be built for nonstop protection and mobility.